Welcome back, my beautiful gemsters. Here we are on another episode. With me today is Steve Selling It. And for those of you that are new to the community, I am the founder and host, Miss Genesis Amariskep. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Steve, and then we're going to dive into a powerful conversation. And if you're like me and you're a note taker, I would suggest grabbing a piece of paper, a pen and pencil, so you can write down these gems or get your phone out and type some notes. But without further ado, this is who Steve Selinga is. He is a 40-plus year professional investment manager, advisor, RIA, IAR, whose current adventure is coaching both individuals and other advisors in creating income independence for themselves and their clients. He's also promoting his second book, Retirement Money Secrets. He was a private investment manager for 44 years, so definitely lots of credibility, personally managing around 325 individual portfolios in the USA and abroad. One of the very few investment books author who have directly managed other people's money. So if that doesn't say a lot, I don't know what does. But without further ado, I want to bring on the man behind it all, Steve Selling It. Because a bio is just a bio, but he is more than just his bio. So welcome, Steve.
Nice to be with you, Genesis.
My pleasure. And I hope I did your bio justice, but we're also gonna either do an icebreaker or a rapid fire game. So what are you in the mood for so you can connect with the audience in a fun and personal manner?
Whatever you're up to, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay, let's do rapid fire. I think you're pretty rapid. So here we go, y'all. We're playing rapid fire with Steve and Genesis. Do, 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 do. Question one, Steve, what got you involved in the investment industry?
Oh, that's an easy one. I got started in the investment industry because my dad was a real estate developer, believe it or not. And when I was a kid and I was doing odd jobs and mowing lawns for people and stuff like that, he insisted on me learning about compound interest of all things. He said, "We're going to put away 25% of what you make, and you're going to see how that grows all by itself without you having to do anything. And hopefully that'll show you in the future that you can get to a point where your money works as hard or even harder than you do at providing income that you can live on." And that's how I got started.
Love it. Question two. What is your drink of choice? Coffee, tea, or something else?
In the morning, I like coffee, and I use decaf primarily. No cream or anything, black, but with sweetener.
Okay. Question three. If you had the opportunity to trade places with anyone for 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places? And if so, with who?
Probably with a younger me. When you're approaching 80 and you start thinking about who you were in your 40s or in your 50s, and you say, "Well, I'd be talking to myself about going out skiing in Colorado right now if I were still in my 40s. But in my late 70s, that becomes pretty dangerous." So, I've got to admit, I never had any real heroes that I wanted to be. Especially like, I mean, I never thought that I could be the same as an athlete, for example. I never had one of those things that I'm gonna be like that football player or that baseball player. I competed in sports, but I knew my limitations. So I really at the age where I'm looking backwards more now and said, if only we could do that again, Sandy, if we could go skiing again this year, that type of thing.
Oh, I like that. Question four, what is your favorite color?
Strawberry blonde hair.
Okay. Question five, what is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time probably was Gone with the Wind.
Okay. Question six, What is your current happy place?
It still is, it's really working with people to get them to income independence, you know, really showing people what they're missing or explaining to them how they could not worry about budgets and things like that, just from the assets they've already accumulated, but which have always been focused on growth in market value instead of the income that it could generate. That's my shtick. That's what I want to do.
Okay, I like that. So definitely people-centric and helping them, really tap into that financial freedom. Question seven. What? Oh, wait. You want to say something?
No, I
Okay.
just don't know what to
Question
expect there.
seven. What is your favorite cuisine?
My favorite cuisine. I really recently got really fell in love with Moroccan food. I was there year before last, and the spices and everything that was in the food was really, really exciting. I mean, you know, I like Italian food, but it doesn't have the variety and the, you know, some things like just explode in your mouth, these spices that they use. And I wouldn't really even be able to identify them. That's my wife could tell you. I just said, wow, that's great. You know, what an adventure that was.
That is awesome. And I love spices, especially being South American and West Indian. We're all about spices in my house. Question eight. What is your favorite vacation spot?
I've been to so many places on vacations. I mean, I'm going to Portugal in 2 weeks. They all have their own greatnesses, but I think if I had to pick a place again that I definitely want to go back before I can't anymore, would be Australia, New Zealand.
Okay. Ooh, okay. I'm
That's
de When I travel there, I'm gonna have to get some pointers from you.
okay.
Cool. Question nine. What was your favorite candy as a kid or now?
Chocolate, anything chocolate, especially the dark chocolate.
Okay. And then question 10. It is the pass or play question. And here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed and you can ask me any question. If you play, I ask one last question to wrap up. Rapid fire. So are you passing or playing?
I think I'll play. What the hell?
Okay.
It's so much
So
fun, you know.
here we are. We're in the casino. You just hit it big. However, when you go to cash in your chips, they tell you, Steve, you have to donate to a charity today. What charity are you donating to?
Probably to the Women's Breast Cancer Charity.
Okay, and there you have it. That concludes Rapid Fire with Genesis. Gemsters, I hope you learned a little bit more about Steve in a fun and personal manner. Don't go stalk him. Now we're going to zoom into the content, which is what Steve does on a daily basis to help those live life financially free and really optimize their money to let their money work for them. So, Steve, I know you have this amazing book out, Retirement Money Secrets. And you know what? Some people, they feel like, hey, I may not be able to enjoy my retirement. So I want to spend the money while I can, while I'm in good health. But what is your spin being one your age and growing through life and helping so many people?
Well, I think the focus should be, to enjoy life. Absolutely. I mean, I've traveled the world. I have only about three more places that I need to go to get, you know, to get everything done and then do repeats. And the thing that most people don't appreciate is a little bit of what we said before, that they can get their money to work harder for them if they focus more on the interest it generates, the income it generates, than the change in market value. I mean, even young people like you have experienced 2022, which is a pretty much down year. 2020, when the COVID crash that we had for 2 months. You may have been in the investment arena in 2008 when they had what they called the Great Recession, when the banking industry really got over. They went a little too deep into these really ridiculous securities, and they got in trouble for it. So you experience things like that, and each time, I mean, I hear people saying, how did you get back to where you are after you lost everything in 2008? Well, I didn't lose a thing in 2008. And if you design a portfolio that's quality, diversification, generating income, and you remember to take your profits when you can, you're going to always have that same capital working for you, regardless what's going on around you. Sure, you might have a situation where you might get hurt a little bit in something, but if you've got it all set up properly, like I explained in the book, I mean, the whole first half of the book is devoted to risk minimization. What you want to be able to do is safely put your money away where it can earn income, but not in a speculative manner, like gambling on what the price of gold or Bitcoin is going to be when you need it to be high, when you need to pay for your kids' educations, when you have a family emergency, when you have this or that going on. So what I did, because of my, I was fortunate that I was able to, frankly, but because I had put away money, by the time I was 25, I had, my father and his lawyer had invested all that, what I had given them and what I didn't spend on an Ivy League education. I went to a regular old-fashioned school that wasn't like that, because Gettysburg had a great wrestling team and I wanted to try that. So I went there. But by the time, so I had a nest egg already. I was fortunate, you know, I chose my parents well, so but I didn't lose it. What I did was I, with the help of the woman broker that I had, who didn't take advantage of my ignorance at the time, but helped me learn about this that I had, these stocks, we managed to create a portfolio. By the time I was 34, I was making more money trading stocks and taking in dividends from what they produced. I was earning five times as much as my salary in New York City,
Wow, let's
you
pause
know?
there really quick, Steve, because I want to share something with the audience because it may help them. So for 12 years I was in oil and gas and energy up until 2020, 2021, whenever the pandemic happened. Then I switched industries to the medical industries. And what I did, my husband didn't agree. I took all of the money out of my 401k because I was just losing money. And I put my money into annuities, but my husband is more so like kind of like he likes to play in the stock market. He's like, you're in it for the long haul. And I'm like, oh, well, we have a little one now, and we have other kids in the future planned. And I was like, I don't want to lose all this. And you mentioned you had money in the stock market, and then you're cashing in on some of the dividends, and you have this portfolio. Can we talk about how to set up like those portfolios and those dividends? Like, what? How do you know what's the best one to work for? And feel free to re-ask the question or rephrase it, because this is not my area of expertise.
Well,
But a lot of people like my age, like I'm in my early 30s, they do not want to dive into annuities. But I have like a fixed annuity, so when the market goes up, it goes up, and they're like, that's too conservative. You should be like aggressive.
you shouldn't. I don't think you need to be aggressive, and I certainly don't think that, a fixed income, a fixed annuity should be the only thing you have. An annuity is a thing where you put your money with this insurance company, basically. They invest it and they promise to pay you a certain amount of money whenever you decide that you want to start the annuity to come in. And then they'll keep paying you that amount of money until you die. There won't be anything less left for that child of yours or your husband.
Yeah, so that's
Okay.
one.
So it's a drawback of that type of it's not an investment. It's an insurance product. And having an insurance product, I mean, I had insurance all my life. My first job was in the insurance industry, you know. But investing and insuring are two different things.
So let's differentiate
All
that because I don't want people to be confused like I was between insurance and then having the investments. And I'm going to look at, investing more now versus just putting all my eggs in one basket. Because when you're young and you're naive, you're like, I just want to protect my money. If you know you have a large sum of it and you don't want to see it like, oh, I'm losing
Right.
20,000, 40,000.
Right. Now, is that I'm not even going to ask you about the particulars, but investing always involves risk, particularly for young people like yourself. You have to understand, you know, there's a risk involved. You're owning a piece of a company. It's like owning a pizza parlor. If it does well, you make money. If it doesn't, you lose the money. You know, there are other types of securities that are the debt of corporations. These are bonds and preferred stocks and notes and things like that. Mortgages are debt securities. You know, they're less risky than stocks because in the event of a disaster like the Great Recession, when businesses go under, the people who own their debt securities have a chance of getting some money back. The people who have stocks, the stock of the corporations get nothing, zero. You know, so you mitigate or minimize the risk by doing four things: by determining the quality of the security you're buying, which, you know, I can't go into all the details of it, but you know. Is it an established company? Is it profitable, for example? You diversify. You want to own many different companies in different industries so that economic conditions affect these differently. And, you know, you want to make sure you're getting income from everything you own. Most people lose sight of the importance of income. It's the most important thing of all. If nothing else, it indicates that the company is making enough money to pay you a dividend. Okay. Which means it's making money, right? So otherwise, it couldn't do that. So that's the kind of one you want. And the final thing, and which most people lose sight of, and it doesn't matter how old you are, very few people are comfortable with taking profits because they always think they've hit the jackpot and this thing is going to go up forever and ever, and they can have all their money in it, and they feel safe. For me, that's where all this hair went from pulling my hair out when I hear people tell that story. So I take profits. I set targets, you know, just like you would if you were doing anything else, like how many reps I'm going to do today, you know, stuff like that. You have a target for your what you're. When you're going to take that profit. I have a minimum of the amount of income I'm going to make on every security. But there's one thing that I would encourage people your age to think about, and that getting started is the most critical point. I mean, when I started IRAs, for example, we were starting off with $1,500, which now they're doing what, 800, 8,000 a year can go into an IRA, something like that?
I think so. Don't quote me on
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know for sure either, but I would get new clients who had been investing in their IRA for 4 years, and when they come to me, they've got $1,750 in there. What happened to the other 40, whatever, you know, because they took too much risk with their initial investments. When you're small, you should be as safe as you possibly can, be income focused. And when you're very, very wealthy, at that point, real wealth means you don't have to take any risks at all.
And let's
Okay.
talk about that because you said real wealth means you don't have to take any risk at all. But for those who are trying to establish a real wealth and really have the goal of income independence that you talk about, how can you help them change their mindset and perspectives to focus on the goal of income independence?
Okay. That's really, really easy to do. And I think I've done it fairly well in that retirement money secrets. But what you want to do is you want to be able to participate in the economy, in what's going on in the economy, the growth overall, the economy of the world economy. All right. But you got a limited number of assets, and you don't want to have to just try to pick which one's going to be your winner is going to be help. So there are securities you can use, and there's three types of funds that exist that you can use, and they do the diversification part for you. Some of them do the income part, but not as well as others. Okay. Like mutual funds, you can find some that pay a lot of income, but not many. ETFs, it's about the same. The average mutual fund or ETF pays between 2 and 3%, although there are some higher yield ones, but the average is
Okay.
low. The third type, which is, and there are other subtle differences between the two, but the third type is quite different in the fact that it exists, the purpose of its existence is to generate income while investing in the stock market and the bond market. So that sounds pretty much, whoa, how come I haven't heard of this? Well, it's actually the oldest of all types of funds, and it's called a closed-end fund. And it's a trust vehicle. And you're probably, at your age, you probably don't have any need to make a trust for your heirs or anything quite yet. So a trust is a legal document, so to speak, or a place people put assets so that they can get them to the next generation in an orderly manner. And
Can I
a
ask a
type,
question really quick, Steve, though?
sure.
So, for someone who's my age or within my age group, once they have children, early on, do you recommend that they start looking at financial vehicles just so your child could be financially well established, like a trust? What age would you recommend
Well,
they set them up?
I wouldn't do a trust, but I started accounts, you know, custodian accounts for my children
Okay.
pretty much as soon as they were born.
Okay, because I know there's a difference between like what the baby boomers are now thinking versus the millennials. Because they're like, for our children, that they're on their own. But then me, I'm telling my husband, oh, you have to save for future generations,
Let
wealth
me tell
building.
you never lose your children. They're never on their own. They're always in need of something. Some are more secure than others. And if you can put away enough to get them properly educated, they can become independent and they may actually buy you dinner sometime.
Okay, perfect. I
Okay.
just wanted
I'm still looking for that moment, but that's
I
their, I'm sorry. That's not really totally true. They do what they can. But
Okay.
the point is, yeah, you can start young, you can start early, you can start putting away enough money to take care of your kids, to take care of yourself. If you're consistent, you deposit regularly, and you keep putting the money to work. Not automatically. It's not a set it and forget it type of approach, because all that does is build market value, and it just doesn't generate additional income adequately. That's why these trusts I were talking about have a special characteristic that the others don't. They're a pass-through trust. They don't pay any taxes themselves because they're required to pay out 95% of what they make to the shareholders. Can you imagine if Amazon paid out 95% of its profits to shareholders?
Wow.
Wouldn't that be nice? Of course,
Yeah.
they wouldn't grow nearly as fast. So these aren't securities that you go into for growth in market value. You go into it for growth of income.
Okay.
And you're going to need income to pay for that kid's education.
You
My
sure are.
granddaughter's education, and she gets a lot of scholarships, is still a significant sum of money. And and I'm fortunate that I can help her with that, and that's where you want to be with your daughter or your son,
Yes.
whatever your child happens to be.
have a daughter now.
Okay, well, maybe you'll get lucky and get a son on the next one, so you'll be able to have the great pleasure of both types. You know,
Yes.
they both have their own fun features. Anyhow, so what I'm saying is these closed-end funds are interesting, and they should be to young people, because if you buy one that focuses on equities, it might have 200 or 300 different stocks inside of it. So the market goes up, its price is going to go up, they're going to take profits, they're going to give you the money, basically. Okay, but you don't have to have the risk of saying, oh my God, I got to look at this thing every day. If it goes down, what am I going to do? You know, you don't need that stuff, because these things are paying out right now 8 or 9% income. Most of them pay monthly,
Oh,
and
wow.
they've been around for years and years and years, and they contain what's out there in the stock market. On the other side, there are similar securities that are in real estate, that are in bonds, that are in tax-free bonds. You know, when you make that big, you start making that $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000 a year, and you want tax-exempt money, there are tax-exempt bond closed-end funds. I've been using these exclusively for about 20 years. I started so long ago. Even though they existed, I didn't really know about them, nor did my brokers that I worked through. And I was totally in the stock market for a long time. And then as I, you know, accumulated more, I started to put income-focused stuff away. But I never bought a stock that didn't pay a dividend.
Wow,
Never,
and that's
never, never once. So they're out there, and they're all in these closed-end funds. So when you're starting, and I just had this question in a Q&A, is coming up on Wednesday that I'm doing with my Facebook group. And one of the questions is, are CEFs a good vehicle to use, you know, for your grandchildren or your children? And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish I had closed-end funds when I was starting my kids' programs. I ended my kids' programs in those securities, but I didn't in the original. But they're really unique, they're really useful, they're really very easy to understand their operation, and you just don't have to worry as much.
And thank you for sharing that. And I want to challenge the audience there to make sure they do their homework and go out and research CEF, so closed-end funds, and learn more about what Steve is sharing with you. We're not going to give you all the secrets here because I want Steve to cover his book because we're coming close to time. So Steve, I want you to hold up your book for those that are watching the video, because I want them to make sure they go out and grab a copy of this book, because knowledge is power. And I feel like you're not going to get this information in school. You may not even get it in higher education, but it's up to you to educate yourself on how best you want to set yourself up for the future. And sometimes you have to go pick up a book to find that knowledge. So can you share a little bit more info about your book briefly? And then we're going to jump into the CTA so we won't run out of time. We have like about 5 minutes.
The book goes through all those risk minimization techniques. Two other things it covers is just understanding that the market is cyclical in nature. It's like the tide. It comes, sometimes it goes out, sometimes it goes down, and it's going to do that whether you like it or not. So you have to alter your thinking. You can't just ha The higher the market goes, the riskier the market is. It's not safer when it's high, it's riskier. The lower it goes, the safer it is, because it's more likely to go up. And we've never had the kind of disaster that some countries have had, although we have had our moments. It's not likely that even our Congress is going to let us go, you know, under. So, you know, so that's the type of thing. A second thing is focusing on the income more than the market value. You can't spend market value. Right here, this little fine print says market value fuels the ego.
Oh, there we go.
Market value fuels the ego. Income fuels the yacht.
Ooh, I like that. So without
Okay.
no money, you can't get on your yacht.
That's right. Well, you can get on it, but you can't
Can't
fill it up
go.
with fuel, you know, and it needs it. So that's the general principles, and I talk about trading, and I talk about closed-end funds and how you determine if they are high quality. You can they come diversified. You get to the point, and perhaps this is the most significant thing. You get to the point where what you own is like a department store or even a shopping center. And these are all these different securities in every sector you can imagine, every type of company, from healthcare to the oil and gas services industries and so on, is in there in its own package. And then somebody comes into the store and they're offering you a 5% profit or a 10% markup, you take it and you pick up another one, put it on your shelf, and then so it's just like running a department store.
I love that.
Just like a department store.
Steve, how can they pick up a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon? Where is it sold at?
Amazon is the primary
okay
place for it. It does not come in an audio book because it's a conversation between myself and some people we met on a river cruise. On how to their problems and how I help them solve them. And it's got lots of charts and illustrations of things. So it really didn't lend itself to the audiobook, although people are trying to convince me to do that. So any place, Amazon and any other major book place or ebook place will have it.
Awesome. And then now let's jump into the CTA and we're going to wind down. So the CTA is the call to action. What is your homework for the audience today? Because I always like to give the audience homework, because what good is listening to the content if they don't take what they have heard and apply it to do better?
They can do one of two things. They can do something that's free, and there's something that could cost them as much as $20. For free, they can go to a Facebook group called the Retirement Income Independence Coach. Okay, that's a Facebook group, and you have people. You know, just it's not my sales place. It's where people talk about closed-end funds and how they fund their retirement. The $20 approach is to buy this. Okay. And this will lead you to that same Facebook group and to my income coach website as well. But yeah, that's the homework. Check out closed-end funds, buy the book, get yourself started on an income portfolio.
I love it. So y'all, you got all of that information, and I'm going to make sure all of Steve's contact information is in the show notes. So there's no excuse for you not to get a hold of him. And Steve, are you on any social media platforms?
Facebook.
Okay. So I will share
Facebook and LinkedIn.
Okay. And my sign out, y'all, is to make sure you take hold of your assets now so you could make sure you have some for the future. Be mindful of what you have and don't go spend it all in one place. And until next time, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast and make sure you share this segment with a family member and friend. Until the next time, have an amazing one.